I'm sure many of you, like me, have been waiting for our Independence Day weekend for a lot of reasons. You know, it's a fun weekend. It's a great reason to celebrate. I always grew up going to parades and watching fireworks and, you know, getting candy and doing all those patriotic things. And I enjoyed some of those even the last few days. You know, I've eaten a bratwurst every day the last 2 days. I'll probably have another one today. And it's fun to celebrate, and it's fun to then reflect back too on the reasons why we celebrate. One of the reasons I was excited for this particular Independence Day weekend was for the release of Hamilton, the musical, on Disney Plus. I'm sure a lot of you were too. If not you, maybe your children or your grandchildren. It was this musical released on Broadway probably 5 years ago, based on a book, a biography of one of our founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton. And the book was released, I think, about 15 years ago. So I got together with some friends on Friday, and I was finally able to watch it. And I knew a lot of the music. I'd been listening to it as I exercised or as I was driving in the car. And so I knew a lot of the story, I knew a lot of the songs, but it was great to see it on stage, or at least on the television, and to see how the story played out. And it's a remarkable story, and I think they did a lot of good things to make history exciting to younger generations. Of course, it has a lot of hip-hop themes and rapping and things like that, which is just fun, I think. It's exciting. I can't give a wholesale recommendation of the movie to every audience. There's a lot of mature themes. There's a lot of mature language. But I think they did a really good job of telling the story in an attractive way. They even used a lot of minority actors and actresses, which I thought was a great move, showing the different cultures and the diversity of our country, of how we came together and how those cultures continue to play out in the great American experiment, as we call it. But one of the great things I liked from the musical was that it was real and it showed the struggle of our founding fathers. In the birth of our nation, it showed that individuals and systems had to struggle and work through issues. It wasn't completely saccharine or sugary. It was a real, I think, depiction of the way things were and the way things continue to be. That as a body, as a collective organization, and even that word organization, you know, we hear organ or corporation. We hear the word for body, corpus. We have to work through things. We have to examine things as individuals and as systems. And I thought they did a really good job at that. Looking at racism, looking at slavery, looking at injustices and tyranny, and how we came together and we continue to come together as a corporation, as a body, and we examine these things. I like that analogy of the body, because I love my body. I wouldn't be here without my body. I wouldn't exist without my body. Yet sometimes I don't like things about it. And sometimes I need to work through things. If I have some kind of health issue, I have to examine that. And sometimes there's things I can do to get better. Sometimes there's not. You know, if I wished I were taller and I just keep trying to be taller and I keep trying to be taller, it's probably not going to work. But if I've got a little extra poundage from COVID-19, or if I've got a thing like high cholesterol or something like that, I can examine that, and I can do things to improve it. And as I said, maybe it's a localized problem, like my foot or my elbow or something like that, or maybe it is a systemic problem, and I need to do something maybe a little more drastic. And we continue to look at these themes as one body of the United States of America, you know, that's been playing out in the news, and we continue to examine these things. So I think that image of the body is really helpful because it's something that I can understand. Just like I have a body and there are problems sometimes in my body, so in our country, wherever you live, whether it's the United States or France or Ghana or Australia, we need to look at the body and see how we can continue to improve upon it. Anytime we look at the body or look at our fleshly existence, there's a certain way or a certain lens that we have to do it. Because there are a lot of errors, and these errors have played out for centuries when we look at the flesh or we look at the body. On one end, there's this erroneous philosophical understanding called materialism. Not in that I just want to go up and buy things, I want to shop, and that's the error of materialism, but this error says that the matter is the only thing that exists. So my body, once it's done, poof, I'm no longer. And this is an error because it doesn't recognize the immaterial things that we can't see but are just as real. The error of materialism would say, I have to continue to work on this matter. I have to continue to improve it because this is all I've got. And that's an error. Certainly we need to improve upon our bodies and improve upon things that we can see. But it's not all that is there. We know as Christians that there's the immaterial world, there's the spiritual world that we continue to work towards. So materialism and an overemphasis on the body or the flesh or matter is really an erroneous way to think of things. But then all the way on the other extreme, another competing error says that, well, that maybe matter is all bad. Maybe my body is bad. Maybe things that exist in the world are bad. And so I just want to be freed from them. I can't wait to the day when I die and I fly away to heaven and I'm free of this body and this evil that plagues me. That was a way Christians thought for years. It's called Gnosticism. And it was always condemned by the church to say, no. The body is good. Material things are good. Even if they need to be purified and cleansed, they're good. And actually, my body will come with me to heaven. I don't leave it here on earth. I don't become an angel. I'm not just some spirit forever. I actually bring my body with me, and it's glorified, and it's purified, and it's cleansed, and I'll hang on to it forever. So you have these competing errors when we think about the body, when we think about flesh, materialism. Nope, that one ain't right. Gnosticism. Nope, that one ain't right. So how do I look upon it? How do I continue to purify myself and see my flesh, see my body, see our country, our motherland as something good, but something that needs to be purified in order to get us to our eternal homeland, our patria, our motherland that's in heaven? How do we do that? St. Paul gives us a great discourse today in his letter to the Romans, and he talks about flesh, he talks about the body, but he talks about the spirit and how these two have to work together. How both are at play within ourselves and within corporations. He says, if you live according to the flesh, you're governed by the body, you're in the flesh, you're according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so it's body and it's spirit. And we can't live according to the flesh. We can't live according to the body, that this is the most important thing. But we have to put to death the deeds of the body. And the Spirit helps us do that. It helps us live for a greater reality that we can't see, one that we'll ultimately only enjoy in heaven. Paul wrote this letter in the first century to the Roman Christians. And there was another letter written around that same time. It's called the Letter to Diognetus. And a lot of the same themes in it, but I think really helpful for us to examine along with Paul's letter. In the letter to Diognetus, again, written in the same time around the first century, it says a similar thing. Christians are in the flesh, but they do not live after the flesh. So we have these bodies, we have this fleshly existence, things that we can see, but we can't live according to them. We can't let our flesh, we can't let our bodies have the final say. And in this letter, the author talks about Christians, and he says Christians are all over the world. They're mixed with everyone else. They're really not even distinct by homeland, by tongue, by skin color, by things that might set us apart. Christians are just like everybody else. They live all over the world. But then he talks about how we're different. He says, as citizens of this country or that, they share in all things with others, and yet they endure all things as foreigners. That even though I'm a citizen of the United States, I'm a foreigner of the United States too. Because my homeland isn't ultimately here. My motherland is somewhere with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Christians have to recognize this, that though we're spread out through all the world and we're citizens of this plot of land or that or this corporation or another, we live as though we're foreigners. And then he gives another analogy, which I just love, and I always try to come back to it. He says that as the soul is to the body, so Christians are to the world. That Christians actually give animation. They give life to the world. They look at the world as if it's the body, and they see, how can we help the body? How can we purge errors? How can we purge sin and immorality and certain things from the body that we live in so that we can show the world we're living for something greater? That's what we're supposed to do as Christian Americans, to look at our country, to look at our body, the corporation of the United States, and to improve upon it, to examine things that maybe ought to be changed locally or systemically, so that we're continuing to grow into the people that God has called us to be. So as we celebrate our independence today and our country and our motherland that we do indeed love, let's examine our hearts locally, let's examine our country systemically, and see how can I, as like the soul to the body, improve upon the situations around me? How can I be an instrument of love and peace and justice and joy? How can I bring Christ? How can I be that instrument in the world to bring the love of God?